We're certainly grateful for the presence of each one this morning. We have a tremendous number of people out of town, especially our students, but we have visitors and we have a good audience this morning, and we're thankful for your being here. You may hear during the day that I'm related to Minnie Pearl. Thought I might explain why. Got up this morning and got dressed when it was still not extremely light. And this suit had been recently dry cleaned, and the dry cleaners had put right here, where I didn't see it, a number and a safety pin that big. And when I put on the suit, I couldn't see it. And so I preached this morning at 8 o'clock, and every time I went up with this hand, there was a big safety pin and a number right there. And this morning, my lesson with the 11th and 12th graders at Bible study was personal hygiene and appearance. I just thought I ought to share that with you. So if you hear me referred to as Minnie Pearl, that's the reason. One of the greatest needs that we have, in my opinion, is accepting personal responsibility. I certainly do not want to minimize the importance of opportunity or privilege. And all that we'll be talking about this morning, in a sense, is an opportunity and a privilege. But I really believe that many of our problems that we have in life would be solved if we would really accept personal responsibility. There is a tendency to pass the buck and let somebody else do it or tell somebody else to do it, even when we ought to be doing it. Even sometimes we talk about turning everything over to God, and I think I know what we mean by that, and there is a sense in which we do need to turn everything over to Him. But even as we turn our lives over to Him, He still emphasizes the importance of personal responsibility. We need to learn to accept personal responsibility. Not expect everything to be done for us, but expect to be able to do some things for ourselves. There are two words that were read there in Hebrews chapter 5 that are very important along this line. I have reference to the words ought to. O-U-G-H-T-T-O. He said, the time has come that you ought to be teachers. He goes ahead and explains how that one ought to be at the point of being able to understand the deeper things of the gospel. But he says, in reality, you are still at a point where you can just deal with the milk, the more simple things. But he said you ought to develop in such a way at the latter part of verse 14 that you are able to discern between good and evil. In other words, that you're able to make some decisions. That you are able to accept personal responsibility. You ought to accept personal responsibility. The idea of ought to means something that's necessary. Something that we owe. Some of you may be reading from versions this morning that will translate some of these passages where we'll look at the words ought to as must. I was reading in one translation this week through the passages that I'll be using, where in the King James Version, the words ought to are used, and some were translated must, some were translated should, and some were translated ought. But it's all the same idea. Accepting some personal responsibility. Just want to make some simple suggestions this morning along this line. First, we need to turn to God for guidance. It is a personal responsibility to turn to God for guidance. Listen to three passages of Scripture. First, in the middle part of Acts 20:35, among other things, it says that you ought to remember the words of Jesus. He says there you ought to support the weak and remember, but if you just pick out that part, he says you ought to remember the words of Jesus. We need to remember what Jesus has said. In fact, not only has he said it, but he's backed it up with his own life, showing us by deed what he meant by word. In Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That passage says you ought to give heed to what God has said. He went ahead in the next few verses and said even in times past, God's word was important, and he even emphasized it in some instances with signs and wonders and miracles to emphasize that his word was to be accepted. He said we ought to give heed. We ought to be careful that we do not let the things that we have heard slip. How many times does that happen to us? We read God's word, we see what it teaches, we hear it taught from the pulpit and in our classes, and yet maybe we don't really give heed to it. We do not think about it. We do not, as Jack led us in the prayer a few minutes ago, practice what we sing and what we say, and we let these things slip. And then there's Acts 5:29 that says we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to. It's necessary. It's a must. We ought to accept the personal responsibility to turn to God for our guidance. We have long quoted Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We know that verse, and yet sometimes we do not really apply it. It is often said today that we may not know the scriptures like our forefathers did. And I believe there is a degree of truth in that. We may not know how to quote passages or even where to turn to find what we need to teach others, why we believe as we believe, why we practice as we practice, what is necessary to become a Christian, how to worship, how to live. If we do not know those things, why? I submit to you that it is because we have not accepted our personal responsibility to turn to God and to know what his word says. You ought to remember what Jesus has said. It's important. You ought to give heed to the things that you have heard from the word of God. And you ought to develop the attitude that you're going to obey God and accept that personal responsibility to be obedient to him. But in another line of thought, as we think about personal responsibility and ought to, we ought to develop the right kind of relationships with one another. And that doesn't happen just accidentally. We do not develop, and especially we do not maintain, the right kind of relationships with one another without some effort. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, Ephesians 5:28. So ought to. Ought to. 2 Corinthians 12:14 says that the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now the positive statement in that is that parents ought to take care of their children. If we would accept personal responsibility in the family circle, our families would be better. We would be more successful. We would have fewer problems, and we would be happier. When a man and a woman stand before me as I perform a marriage ceremony, I ask that man to promise to love his wife, to love her above all else on this earth, to love her just short of his love for Christ and God. And I think that's what Ephesians 5:28 is saying, that a man ought to love his wife. And of course, that same passage in general teaches that the wife ought to love her husband. Can you imagine what effect that would have upon the world today if every husband did that? If a husband loved his wife as he should, he would not have time to be thinking about somebody else's wife. And he would make her happier. If every woman loved her husband as she should, she would make her husband happier, and she would contribute to a better relationship in the family. Parents ought to provide for their children. There are few areas, if any, today where personal responsibility is being shirked any more than this. You
You look at what's happening in our country. Look at parents who really do not care where their children are, whether or not they have their needs met. Of course, this passage is talking mainly about physical provision. But the same idea is taught in many, many passages about spiritual provision. It is a must, it is a necessity that we get back to emphasizing the importance of parents, being parents and training their children in the right way and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, I suggest to you that most of our problems would be solved in the family if we would just listen to the ought to's. Husbands, you ought to love your wife. Parents, you ought to love and train your children in the right way. But it branches out farther than that as far as relationships are concerned. There in Acts 20:35, he says we ought to support the weak. Romans 15:1 says almost the same thing. We ought to. It's a responsibility. It's necessary. It's necessary for the stronger ones in the church to encourage and support those who may be weaker, help to build them up and bring them up in the Lord's service. 1 John 4:11 says we ought to love one another. 1 John 3:16 goes a little further and says we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for one another. And Jesus at John 13:14 says we ought to wash one another's feet. And I believe he was not emphasizing the specific act of washing the foot as he was the general act of being a servant to one another. Oh, these are privileges, yes. These are opportunities. And we certainly do not want to get to the point of thinking that we have a checklist that we ought to do in the family or in the church. And yet the Bible says we ought to. We ought to accept responsibility. We ought to be good husbands and wives and parents and children and brothers and sisters in Christ, even to the point of being willing to serve one another, to put one another first, to prefer one another, especially in honor, and to serve one another, whether it be the washing of the feet and when that's necessary, or helping in some other way to be a servant. We ought to accept our responsibility in our relationships with one another. Many times I'm afraid, as we look at those relationships, whether it be marriage or business or whatever, we may be looking for what we can get out of it. The benefits, the privileges, and the opportunities more than we do the responsibilities. We live at a time in our country particularly where rights are emphasized over responsibilities. And people who will not accept their responsibilities are always crying for their rights. Our rights will pretty well fit into place if we will accept our own personal responsibilities in our relationships with one another. And then in another line of thought, we ought to live the Christian life that we claim to live. Sometimes it's put like this: we do a better job of talking the talk than we do walking the walk. We ought to live it. We have the personal responsibility to show the world by our actions what we believe in our hearts. And it's interesting here again to look at God's Word and notice the different places where this idea of ought to is mentioned. Go back to the text. When for the time ye ought to be teachers. As Christians, we ought to be teachers. Not necessarily from a pulpit, not necessarily in a classroom, though those are included, but being teachers to where we know what we believe and why we believe it, and we're able to tell others and to teach them, at least point them to the scriptures that teach on whatever the subject may be. We ought to be teachers. Again, the Bible teaches in Luke 18:1 that we ought always to pray. It's a privilege, yes. but it's a responsibility also. You ought to pray when you sit down to eat. You ought to pray as you pillow your head at night to sleep. You ought to pray when you arise in the morning to begin a new day. And we could go on and on and on, pray all the time, as the song says. But it's a responsibility. It's a personal responsibility. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to put this responsibility on somebody else. Somebody else is going to walk up here at this pulpit stand and lead us in prayer. That's great. Somebody at the table, maybe the father and the family, is going to lead us in prayer or in our devotionals. That's fine. But folks, we need to get to the personal aspect of it. You ought to pray. And you ought to realize that you, as a Christian, have the same right of prayer than any other Christian has. You ought to pray. You ought to walk the Christian life as God has said in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Walk day by day in His service. You ought to speak as a Christian ought to speak. James 3:10 talks about how we tend to bless God out of the mouth and curse man out of the same mouth. And then he makes the comment, these things ought not so to be. Turn that negative into a positive, and he's saying that you ought to use the right kind of words at all times. You ought to have your tongue bridled, as discussed back two chapters earlier in James. You ought to use the right kind of words. It's a personal responsibility. Many times the words that we use that are not good are used because we do not think. Is there one of us here this morning who has not said or at least thought, I wouldn't have said that if I had just thought it through? How many times have we wished we had our words back and realized that after they once leave the tip of the tongue, they cannot be taken back? Oh, we can apologize. We can say we take it back, but we really can't. We ought to think before we speak. In fact, that brings up another subject that is indicated in other places, that we ought to think. In Acts, the 19th chapter, in verse 36, he says, you ought to be quiet and not rash in your words and in your actions. Have things under control. You know, I'm persuaded that most of the mistakes that you and I make are made because we do not think it through. I believe most of us that are here this morning have a pretty good idea of the difference between right and wrong, and yet we all make mistakes. Could it be that it's because we do not think? Maybe it's because we allow ourselves to become so busy and so involved with the affairs of life that we make instant decisions without thinking it through. We ought to use the minds that God has given us to think things through. And when we do that, we'll be able to put things in proper focus, as Matthew 23:23 says we ought to do. Listen to this passage and notice the use of the word ought. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Notice, these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He says there are some things in life that are more important than others. Maybe the others need to be done, but there are some things that are weightier. Judgment, mercy, two of the things that are mentioned there. He says these are very important. These ought ye to have done. You should have. You ought to. We need to be sure that we accept the personal responsibility to live the Christian life. I said basically three things so far as we talk about personal responsibility. Number one, we ought to turn to God for our guidance. Number two, we ought to put forth an effort to develop and maintain the right kind of relationships with others. And number three, we ought to accept the personal responsibility of living the Christian life. I want you to look at another passage with me, this time in Acts chapter 10. As Cornelius was being told what he should do in order to become a Christian, told especially to send to Joppa, verse 5, for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Look at verse 6. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. He'll tell you what you ought to do. Well, Peter was sent for. Peter came. Look at verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all gathered here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius, send and get Peter, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. Cornelius says, Peter, tell us what we ought to do. Verse 48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He taught them and he told them what they ought to do. It's not unlike the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the apostle. Acts 9:6, Jesus said, go into Damascus and it will be told you what you must do, what you ought to, what you must. At Acts 22:16, Ananias came and said, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He told Saul what he ought to do, and Saul did it. That brings us to the point that I want you to consider very, very seriously this morning if you're not a Christian. If you're not, nobody else can become a Christian for you. There's something that you ought to do. Yes, there is the importance of faith and repentance and confession. But with all of those in place, there is then the importance, there is the necessity of your being baptized for the remission of sins. You ought to do that. Cornelius, get Peter to come and tell you what you ought to do. And Peter told them what they ought to do to be Christians. If you're not a Christian, you ought to be baptized into Christ this morning. If you're one who's gone astray and needs to come back in penitence, you ought to do that. Nobody else can do it for you. It's a personal responsibility. We need to accept the ought to in turning to God. We need to accept the ought to in relationships. We need to accept the ought to in Christian living. But before we can do any of those, we must accept the ought to in becoming a Christian. If you're not a Christian, a faithful Christian, you ought to become one as together we stand and sing.
Entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tongues are calling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Jesus, art thou not weary, waiting so long for me? Sweetly the tones are calling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart, I hasten. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. The tongues are